Now, you remember I mentioned to you some time ago about mineral riches in Afghanistan. So let's ask the question. Why are we really in Afghanistan? Why did we go into Iraq? We basically went into Iraq to try and tame the nation down, make it more civilized, and have it as a center in the Middle East that would bring influence to the rest of the Muslim world to try and show them a Muslimized Western way of life would be more acceptable to the Muslims. See? Now, Iraq is a fairly rich country. The people are fairly well off. They have now middle class. Everything with the war has been pretty well taken care of. They still live by the sword, and so they still kill a few people once in a while, but not like they were. And so that turned out to be quite a success. But we went into Afghanistan first, right?
Yeah.
And who was in Afghanistan before us?
Russia.
The Soviet Union. They were in there for 10 years. Why were they there? Well, to put a communist government in place. So the United States helped Osama bin Laden and his Hajjadeen fighters or whatever they were. And we gave them weapons, and they literally drove the Russians out because the Russians couldn't handle the mountains. And they couldn't handle those launched ground-to-air missiles that shot out all of their helicopters. Okay. Finally, they were forced to leave in disgrace. After they left, the Taliban took over. Osama bin Laden then moved in to Afghanistan. We had him in the clutches, and the Saudi Arabian government would have given him to us. But Wilhelm Clinton said, oh, no, we can't do that. Wasn't there a movie on that that showed how that thing was all messed up when they could have had him? Okay, didn't do it. So we launched a war into Afghanistan because Osama bin Laden was now directing terror activities against the United States and was the mastermind behind the Twin Towers attack by the Muslims. Yeah. See, because originally we were allies with Osama bin Laden and then did him in, and he got mad. So then he started the Al-Qaeda and the jihadist movement, which is pretty easy to do with the nature of the Muslims. Okay? So let's ask the question. Was that the real reason that we went to Afghanistan? And could it be that we went to Afghanistan for the same reasons the Russians went to Afghanistan? All right. Now, let me tell you how I came to this. I'm going to read a good part of a report. U.S. identifies vast mineral riches in Afghanistan. Okay? Now, remember, any of the 200 million man army coming west must go through Afghanistan. And if you look at any map, Afghanistan has a little portion that goes east, and that is the Khyber Pass. Far western China borders on that. Now, this becomes very interesting and very intriguing and will bring us up to date as to what I think is going to happen. Okay? Now, at the present time, the United States has its army there. NATO forces have some token troops there and so forth. But now this was released. This was June 13, 2010. The United States has discovered nearly $1 trillion in untapped mineral deposits in Afghanistan, far beyond any previously known reserves, and enough to fundamentally alter the Afghan economy and perhaps the Afghan war itself, according to senior American government officials. I bet you can get them to stop fighting. You can say, hey, you're going to make a lot of money. Oh, here's my rifle. Okay. No, the Russians knew about it, but the Americans explored it more and found out even more than $1 trillion. Now they say it's $3 trillion. Now think about what all the investors who have all the big money want to do with that. They want to develop it. America wants to develop it too. And America has a lot of the mining technology to get it up and running within 5 to 7 years, where all the other countries have the technology that will take decades. But we are strung out on debt, and we are burdened down because we can never get enough troops into Afghanistan to tame them down. So keep that in mind as I'm reading. The previously unknown deposits, including huge veins of iron, copper, cobalt, gold, critical industrial metals like lithium. Now keep in mind lithium and rare earth metals are so big and include so many minerals that are essential to modern industry that Afghanistan could eventually be transformed into one of the most important mining centers in the world, the U.S. officials believe. Now, if that's the case, what does it take to develop Afghanistan? Roads, pipelines, rail lines going east, going west, coming out of Iran into Afghanistan, coming down from Uzbekistan down into Afghanistan, coming up south from Pakistan, and coming from the east from China. And China is the major player here, as I'll show you a little later on. An internal Pentagon memo, for example, states that Afghanistan could be the Saudi Arabia of lithium and a key raw material for the manufacture of batteries for laptops, blackberries, hybrid cars, batteries for solar energy for the houses, and windmill energy and all of that sort of thing. The vast scale of Afghanistan's mineral wealth was discovered by a small team of Pentagon officials and American geologists. The Afghan government and President Hamid Karzai were recently briefed, American officials said. Now, what just took place in Iran with the blessing of America and with an American, what's his name, Ambassador Holbrooke was there? A meeting of Iran, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Russia's, European nations, Americans doing what? Working toward post-war Afghanistan. Now, that happened just 3 weeks ago. Okay? While it could take many years to develop a mining industry, the potential is so great that officials and executives in the industry believe it could attract heavy investment even before mines are profitable, providing the possibility of jobs that could distract from war, could distract from generations of war. They have had 30 years of war. And 70% of the population in Afghanistan, between 60 and 70%, are under 25 years of age. Now, after seeing all this war and growing up in the middle of it and seeing all of the, you know, the butchered bodies of the survivors who are still limping around and things like that, and it's offered to them, now, you want a job, you want to have a family, you want to marry, you want to settle down? Boy, they're ripe for it. Okay. The stunning potential here, General David Petraeus. So Petraeus knew about it before he went in, and Petraeus gave his blessing to that meeting in Iran on the post-Afghan solution. There are a lot of ifs, of course, but I think potentially it is hugely significant. The value of the newly discovered mineral deposits dwarfs the size of Afghanistan's existing war-bedraggled economy. It will become the backbone of the Afghan economy. And the Afghan Mining Department is now involved in it, and they have had planes that fly around with the ability to look down through the earth and discover the true depths and value of those resources underground. Now listen to this. Endless fights could erupt between the central government in Kabul and provincial and tribal leaders in mineral-rich districts. Afghanistan has a mining law written with the help of advisors from the World Bank. So this has been known for a long time. Why are we in Afghanistan? Two things: opium and the minerals. And to try and get enough of the Afghans to understand, you're going to get enough money without being corrupt. So, you know, stop being corrupt, huh? No one has tested the law. No one knows how it will stand up in a fight between central government and provinces. But if they all get enough, they will agree. At the same time, American officials fear Resource China will try to dominate the development of Afghans' mineral wealth. Keep that in mind. That's the key. Which could upset the United States given its heavy investment in the region. After winning the bid for its Anak copper mine in Logar province, China clearly wants more. So China is already there in these things. And they're already beginning to leverage America to make it irresistible to allow them to come in. And it will be something. Let's go on here. With virtually no mining industry or infrastructure in place today, it will take decades for Afghanistan to exploit its mineral wealth fully. Not if all the nations get in there and pour the investment and get the heavy equipment in there, you see. There'll be jobs. They'll even have people from Pakistan climbing over the mountain, you know, to get a job to work there to make some money. See, it'll bring peace to Afghanistan, okay? Peace to Pakistan. Now, there's some other elements in this that China can do which will benefit America. Let's go on. The mineral deposits are scattered throughout the country, including the south and eastern regions along the border with Pakistan that have had some of the most intense combat of the American-led war against the Taliban insurgency. Technical data is being prepared to turn over to a multinational mining companies and other potential foreign investors. The Pentagon is helping Afghan officials arrange to start seeking bids on mineral rights by next fall, which is now. Because this was written in June. And I never read it until the other day when something else came up. And I'll tell you about that in a minute. Okay. Soviet mining experts knew about it. Handful of American geologists pored over the new material that they got from flying around and seeing all the things. Okay. So far, the biggest mineral deposits discovered are iron and copper, and quantities are large enough to make Afghan a major world producer of both. And who needs that? Their friendly neighbor China and Pakistan and India. Okay? Other finds include large deposits of niobium, soft metal used in producing superconducting steel, rare earth elements, and large deposits in areas of southern Afghanistan. Western Afghanistan is where they believe there are large deposits of lithium. Now that's close to Iran. They say they are in the midst of one of the greatest discoveries of their careers. So, of course, the Afghans are happy over that. Bidding for rights to explore the reserves could begin in as little as 6 months. Already has started. Okay. Afghan's mineral wealth is another part of this. It's good news that Afghanistan can now be considered a mineral-rich country, but no one should think the massively underdeveloped South Asian nation is now going to leap onto the world stage as a well-developed country exporting huge amounts of iron ore, copper, lithium, and other materials. But with everybody involved in modern technology we have today, how about 5 years? Okay, let's go here. Now, October 19th, which was, I got this last week, and I was reading this, and I happened to remember this report, though I hadn't read it. The headline says, China said to widen its embargo on minerals. Because today, China is the greatest exporter of rare earth minerals, including lithium. Okay? China, which has been blocking shipments of critical minerals to Japan for the last month, has now quietly halted some shipments of those materials to the United States and Europe, three industry officials said this week. Why? Why are they doing it? No. It's going to involve the United States. Let's go on. The Chinese action involving rare earth minerals that are critical to manufacturing many advanced products seems certain to further intensify already rising trade and currency tensions with the West. Until recently, China typically sought quick and quiet accommodation on trade issues. But the interpretation of the rare earth supplies is the latest sign from Beijing that the Chinese leaders are willing to use their growing economic muscle. How? China mines 95% of the world's rare earth minerals. Now, these are used in broad commercial and military applications and are vital for the manufacture of products as diverse as cell phones, large windmill turbines, guided missiles. Any curtailment of Chinese supplies of rare earths is likely to be greeted with alarm in Western capitals, particularly because Western companies are believed to keep much smaller stock supplies of rare earths than Japanese companies. Japanese were upset too. Okay. Experts said on Tuesday that Beijing's assertive stance on rare earths might also signal the ascendancy of economic nationalists, noting that the Central Committee of the Communist Party convened over the weekend. They're not telling how long the embargo is going to be. Predicting a decline of up to 30% in rare earth export quotas next year is what they're looking for. China will continue to export rare earth to the world, they say, and at the same time, in order to conserve exhaustible resources and maintain sustainable development, China will also continue imposing relevant restrictions on mining, manufacture, and export of rare earths. Why? Let's go on. So they're denying it. Okay. Chinese government was putting new restrictions on mining and processing and export of rare earths to protect the environment. When was the last time they were ever concerned with the environment? We breathe their coal smoke over here in California. Okay. Rare earths are so important to advanced manufacturing that restrictions on their trade might need to be put on the agenda of the Group of 20 meeting of heads of state scheduled next month in South Korea. I read that, and I called Ron. And I said, Ron, I think I know why they're doing this. So let me just ring my bell. But I'm sure that this is correct. Have the Japanese threatened to stop buying our bonds? Yes, but they haven't stopped. They deleveraged the yuan from the dollar a little bit, and it went up a little bit, but their currency is still tied to the dollar. Okay? They're still buying, but not the way they used to, our debt. They're holding about $1.3 trillion in American debt. Now, a lot of people have said, well, China's going to quit buying and American economy is going to collapse totally. Okay. If that happens, China kills itself at the same time. Does China want to kill its economy at the same time? No. Here is what I think the deal is. And I'll back it up with an article that was put out in August 2009 that I never knew anything about till Ron researched it and emailed it to me. So here, I told Ron, I said, I think they are doing this because I had the article on the mineral wealth in Afghanistan. And if you look at any map, you will see that Western China butts right up against the Khyber Pass. And that is virtually the only and sole way to get in and out of Afghanistan to China or China to go west. That's where the old Silk Route was. Now, they had Silk Routes coming through India and over the Himalayas. And by the way, just an aside, Dolores and I watched a special on trucks carrying goods up in the Himalayas to build dams and other things. And they had these trucks, and there were narrow roads. And it was dangerous, and it would drop down sometimes 7,000 feet straight down. And the roads were something. Many of them were just carved into solid rock, and you saw it where it was carved like this. Here's the mountain going up, and they carve it out. Here's the mountain going down. And there's the road. And this one woman who used to do the ice road trucks, you know, up in Canada, she did those all the time. Well, she volunteered for this project to go down there, and two others did. And it was absolutely terrifying to see going up in these mountains. And looking at that, you know they're not going to come over the mountains that way. It's an impossibility. See? So that was really something to watch that. Yeah. On that one road, they had an average of 7 deaths a day and as much as 103,000 or 104,000 in a year on that one road. See, part of the road also is open to civilians. So you got these little cars that come around, and if you've got that much space between you and the wall and the truck, whoosh, they're right there. And if you just move an inch, you're going to go over and die over the edge. And if you move an inch the other way, you're going to crush the car into the side of the mountain. And buses come down, and they have a schedule to meet, and they come down, beep, 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 beep. I tell you, chaos. And then they have a little wreck, and everybody gets out there and argues. And I couldn't help but think, a Tower of Babel, this was crazy. But it was really something. I was watching that, and you know, my heart was going, and my adrenaline was going. And I said, Mom, turn on the television. Look at History Channel. So I came out there. No, it was National Geographic. So I came out with her big screen TV, and we watched it. And, boy, she wanted to turn it off right away. And I said, no, don't turn it off. Don't turn it off. So it shows how they drove clear up into Himalayas. And I got to thinking, in relation to this, that's not the way the 200 million are coming. Okay. So, I got this article right here about the embargoing of shipping out rare earth minerals by China. So I called Ron. And I said, Ron, I think they're doing this deliberately. Which they are. If they're doing it, it's deliberate. It's a decision. But they have another thing in mind that they want to do. And I said, here are the things I think that they want to do. They will approach America and say, we've had experience in Afghanistan. And they recently had a field maneuver of 50,000 Chinese troops in far western China. What for? To go to the Philippines? No. Okay. I think that they're going to say, look, this war needs to end. We'll help you. Can you get the allies to invite us in, and we'll bring in the troops, and we'll help you finish the war so President Obama can get the troops out of there shortly after he said that he would. Number one. Now, if you don't do that, we're going to curtail buying your debt. And if you purchase your own bonds, you're going to make the world give up on the dollar, and your economy is going to collapse. Now, ours will too, but we can survive better than you because we've been used to poverty. Okay? So here's what we will do. Here's our quid pro quo so that you will be able to benefit from this. If you let us bring our troops and our expertise in here to help develop these mines, because 95% of the rare earth metals are mined in China, we know how to do it. We have the personnel to do it. Fact is, they have hundreds of millions that they could draw from to get over there. We have workers we could import here. We could help keep stability in Afghanistan. And if you do, we will continue buying your treasury and debt instruments. We will not put an embargo on buying those. And your economy will not collapse, and neither will ours. Furthermore, Pakistan is our ally, and we can guarantee that the wild Pakistanis will not use the nuclear weapons, because we can deal with them better than you. And we have relations with Tehran, Iran. And we can keep them from invading into Iraq. If you do that, we will bring all of our expertise along with American companies and whatever other countries want to invest in it, and we will help build roads and infrastructure as fast as we can to develop all of this. And where you go through the Khyber Pass, what is there going to be? There are going to be a big, broad road. There are going to be pipelines for oil. There are going to be rail lines for iron ore and coal and copper taken back to China to smelt down and make into metals and make into steel, which they need for what? To develop a 200 million man army. So Afghanistan is the key to make this happen, Revelation 9, 200 million. They're not going to get the resources shipped overseas from Western allies. Never happened. They're not going to get it from Russia because Russia won't give it to them because Russia is suspicious of China. But if they can cut this deal, which I think they will cut, and it will be presented, well, since this is a multinational thing that we're doing in Afghanistan, and we're all working together to bring peace, help the economy, help the employment, stop the war, bring most of the troops home, we'll have advisors there, we'll have companies going in, investing and developing, and the Chinese will be here with some of their troops because they've been here before, and they will help facilitate, make all of these roads, help develop the mines, and then we can have all of this prosperity for this part of the world, which is the most poverty-ridden that has ever been and is still living in the 12th century. Now, how's that for a deal? Okay, does that sound like a very plausible thing? Mm-hmm. That will save the economy of America for a while, won't it? Mm-hmm. Plus, they will have some exports coming out of there that they can use. China will be able to develop its whole industrial base, And what is the big problem with Chinese economic development? Well, when you get 100 miles off the eastern seaboard, you're into poverty, you're into, to, you know, peasants and things like that. And the further west that you go, the more poverty there, that there is. And you have Muslims in the far, far western area, and they say that they can bring those over like they did before and help tame the Taliban and the Afghanistans and bring peace to everybody. So, after saying that to Ron, he said, I'm going to research this out a little bit more. So he sent me this article from the Asian Times dated August 27th, 2009. Chinese troops offer an Afghan solution. The People's Liberation Army kicked off its largest military maneuver in decades. About 50,000 troops drawn from each of the seven military commands were deployed by rail and air transport to unfamiliar territories far from their garrison training bases. That means far western China. And the Chinese officials said this exercise was to improve the capacity of long-range projection. They have quit trying to do anything militarily with Taiwan because now there's enough commerce back and forth. They know they have them locked in. They don't need to fight them. See? Plus, part of the bargain that the Chinese will bargain with this will say, all right, now you drop all your defense for Taiwan. You tell them that we're not a threat to them and that if they want to join us, fine. If they don't want to join us, we're not going to force you. Oh, isn't that nice? Just think of how much money you're going to save with all these troops, you see. This will be such a sweetheart deal for America, as broke as we are and near depression as we are, that we got to take it. In this case, the PLA, that's the People's Liberation Army, is thinking of a long-range projection, that is, sending troops out of Chinese territory for special purposes, the one territory that needs troops and where Chinese soldiers could be deployed is Afghanistan. Isn't that amazing? Not enough troops to do it. Okay? In this situation, even if China were to send 50,000 troops, all of those which partook in the August maneuver, it would make a difference, but not enough of a one, but it would make a great difference. And then they would say, well, we need more troops, and we know you Americans can't send them in, so we're right close at hand here. Won't cost that much more for us to bring in another 50,000. After all, we feed them rice, and that's all they live on, you know. Then Pakistan, they'll take care of that for us. How about that? Chinese Taliban connection. The People's Republic of China has courted terrorists quite actively so they could control them and say, okay, we'll supply you with money. Now, back off. We're here. Americans are going to go. We're going to change the whole thing. With the escalation of separatist violence across Xinjiang in 1998, China pressurized its Pakistani clients to rein in Islamic terrorists based in Afghanistan. Consequently, Pakistan facilitated contact between both sides. Two senior Chinese diplomats arrived in Kabul for talks with the ruling Taliban in February 1999, the first in a series of interactions. For the Taliban, its Chinese connection soon proved a commercial and strategic windfall. By 2001, China had become the biggest investor in Afghanistan, with legitimate investments running to several tens of millions of dollars. On the strategic front, the Chinese agreed to consider the Taliban's position when UN sanctions against Afghanistan were being discussed. So they can tame the Taliban. They can tame the Pakistanis. They can bring in their expertise for mining, along with the United States and the other Western countries. And the whole face of things would change. All right, here's another report. NATO facilitating Afghan-Taliban talks. Already talked about that. They're facilitating it. And like Dolores has said, every time she sees some news and war in Afghanistan and that, you know, godforsaken, just mountainous, barren place, she says, we got to get out of there. True, we got to get out of there. And isn't it interesting? The Chinese will come along and give us good, plausible way to get out and bring continue with the control. Now, here, October 12, 2010, Chinese warplane make Mideast debut in Turkey and Iran. They flew all the way from China over Afghanistan, over Iran. Some of them landed there and stayed for a big air show because the United States over in Turkey refused to go. I wonder why the president didn't want them to go there. So those Chinese planes, which were going to Turkey, fueled up in Tehran and flew over to Turkey, a NATO ally of the United States. Okay? Big blast hit secret Iranian missile launching pad, which has missiles targeting the U.S. and Israel. They don't know how it happened, but somebody got in there and blew them up. They can't be used now. That's far better than the Israelis bombing it, right? Because these were all underground. It blew up off underground. I think the Israelis had a couple of spies get all in there and just use their own explosive to blow the thing up. Okay, 2001, October 6th. Chinese moves forces into Afghanistan. So they've been there. Okay. They're not there now. But think of what they can tell us. We've been there. We know what to do. We have Muslim Chinese soldiers, and they look just like the rest of the Muslim. They don't look Chinese at all. We have these soldiers that can come over here and interact with the Taliban, interact with the people, and we can do it better than the Americans because they don't like white people over here. And we've been here in the past. Now, just think of what a wonderful thing this is going to be. See? And I believe it's going to happen because they must develop that whole region with roads, pipelines, rail lines, and airports in order to get the army of 200 million strung out along that whole thing. Now, I'll have to just briefly summarize this because I'm almost out of time. When the Battle of Armageddon takes place, there are going to be armies from all nations there. But you know, there's still going to be the garrisons of that 200 million going back. 200 million is two-thirds of the population of the United States, see? Think of it. That's a lot of people, okay? So even though some are going to come over and fight Christ at the Battle of Armageddon, they're still going to be way back there. This helps answer the question, two things. Isaiah 2 says that they're going to beat their spears into plowshares and their swords into pruning hooks. And nations will come up to learn of the way of the Lord. But strong nations afar off, the Lord will rebuke. Who do you suppose that will be? Because their armies will still be there. Okay? It talks about Gog and Magog, Ezekiel 38 and 39, and Ezekiel 38 is after Israel has been settled in the Holy Land, and then Gog and Magog and the armies of the north. So that whole area, to the north and to the east, Christ is not going to touch unless they send their own ambassadors to Jerusalem to say, what's the law of the Lord that we may do it? And they are going to be saved for the disaster and the utter consummation of them in Ezekiel 38 and 39 when God destroys Gog and Magog and all the armies of the north, and then the nations of the world will know that the Lord is God. See? So that has to be. Just think of it in a logistical way. But anyway, I think that we need to be alert and look for the headlines and look for the things to be schmoozed upon us that this is going to happen. And, you know, even someone like Sarah Palin could say, well, this is a good deal for America. Look at all the money we're saving. We can cut down on the budget. We can cut down on the military, yet keep ourselves strong. And we can help Afghanistan, all these people that have had war for so long, to have an economy. We can help the people in Iran so they will have money and an economy and they won't have to hate us and be against us. And Pakistan, that they will be with us. And the Chinese can help us out on this. And we appreciate their help because she knows they got to still buy our T-bills. So it doesn't matter who's president. It's going to come down because the deal is they'll keep buying our debt. So we won't have the complete, utter collapse of the economy like has been forecast if they do this. And if this is an alternative, you know that they're going to do it. Don't you think Uncle Ben Bernanke is going to recommend it? Yes, indeed. Don't you think the nations of the world will be happy with it? Yes, indeed. Don't you think Pakistan would be happy, China would be happy, Iran, Afghanistan, NATO, and America? Yes, indeed. In the meantime, it paves the way to fulfill prophecy in a great and a fantastic way. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.